Luke chapter 13, and we're reading together, please, from verse number 24. Luke chapter 13, and we're reading together, please, from verse 24. Let's hear the word of God. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up, and have shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know ye not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know ye not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When ye shall see Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets, in the kingdom of God, and you yourself thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west, and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, Get thee out, and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, Go ye and tell that fox, Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow. The third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow, and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Amen. We'll end our reading there in verse 35. We know God will bless the reading of his word to every heart. Our text for tonight, it's the opening words of verse 24. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. With our Bibles open, God's people praying, let us now seek the face of God. Let us call upon him. Here we are again, another time of gospel preaching. Another time when we're so aware of our need of God, need of his power, need of that holy baptism that he gives to preach, need of the movings of the Spirit that he gives to the sinner to hear, and to understand the urgency of the moment. Let us all seek the face of God. Let us all pray. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in the blessed and holy name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we approach thine eternal throne. We thank thee for that throne, where angels bow their head and cover their faces and cry, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And Lord, we come to that same throne. We thank thee for the one pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. And we come to thee now, Lord, and we cast ourselves before thee in the affairs of this meeting. And soon this meeting will be in God's eternity. And, O God, if Jesus tarry, soon will be in God's eternity. And therefore, Lord, we cry to thee for help. We cry for the baptism of power. Forgive my sins. Wash me in the blood of Christ. Empty me of anything that will hinder. Give that infilling of the Spirit, that baptism of power, that anointing which God gives and which the Holy Ghost graciously grants upon those that preach. And those that love the living Christ, O God, grant it to us tonight. Close us in, purge the atmosphere. May a sense of your dear presence come across this auditorium. Lord, their souls here need Christ. Do that work which only thou can do. And hear prayer on the throne. And hear prayer for the sake of Christ. Lord, bind Satan. All demonic influence dispel it.
render them for a season powerless and ineffectual. And, O God, save the lost, build the church, extend your blessed kingdom, and do it here tonight. We ask in the holy name of our Lord. Amen.
One of the key phrases of the Gospel of Luke is found in the first four verses of this book. I want you just to turn there at this moment to the very first chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 1 and the first four verses, we read these words, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed too good to me also," Luke says, "having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." In verse 3, Luke tells us, it seemed good to him also, because of his understanding of all things. The thought is there from the first times of John the Baptist, right through to the ascension of Jesus Christ back to heaven. But when he says it seemed good to me, what he's saying is he's speaking about being led by the Holy Ghost to pen these words, to write this gospel which bears his own name, to write to Theophilus, as he says in verse 3, that they might know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed, the certainty of the truths of God. Now, what truths there are in this gospel of Luke? There are truths in this gospel that you won't find anywhere else in Scripture. Luke was a doctor. That was his profession. And he writes with great particularity, even though, of course, he writes by inspiration. We find here in his book, The Good Samaritan, you won't find it anywhere else, a picture of Christ and his compassion helping the sinner. We find in Luke's gospel the story of the lost coin, the lost son. We read of the widow in Luke 18 who wouldn't let go until she got what she wanted. We read of that notorious sinner in Luke 7, that dear woman who found herself at the feet of Christ weeping, and we find that her sins were all forgiven her. Again, you won't find that narrative anywhere else in Scripture. Luke records it of that blessed day when that dear woman came to faith in Jesus Christ and the tears of repentance rolled down her face. He also records in Luke 12, of those final moments in that dying sinner's life as devils came and gathered round the bedside and ushered away his soul. You won't find such a scene anywhere else in Scripture. Or Luke 16, in those amazing verses when Jesus Christ, our Lord, lifts the lid, as it were, just for a moment and lets us gaze in there to the abode of the lost and to hear the wail of the lost and to hear the cry of the sinner. And friend, you won't get it anywhere else in Scripture. You get it in Luke's gospel. It's the certainty of those things that need to be believed. How he was buried. How he lifted his eyes in torment. And yet the Lord also shows us there of the other that was comforted. It's only found in Luke's gospel. Seven times also in the gospel we find the Savior being alone with God in prayer. Early mornings, all night. It's all in Luke's gospel. These little details, nights of prayer, mornings of prayer, getting up away before day. There's the Savior going out to pray. And therefore, how fitting that Luke should end his gospel with the final words of Christ to his disciples, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye." Just wait on before God, the city of Jerusalem, until you be endued with power from on high. But tonight I want to go to Luke 13. Luke 13, where we've read from, going there. And those words, dear sinner, that I want to leave with your heart tonight. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. It's a command from Christ to every sinner in this meeting. Oh, it's the Savior addressing the sinner. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. That's what I want to speak on. Sinner, a message from God to you. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. The first thing I want to show you is this command reveals the reality of your situation. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. When it says strive to enter in, I want you to understand something. The Lord here uses very simple language. The only people that can be told to enter in are those that aren't in. If you're already in that gate, then the Lord is not clearly addressing you here. This little text that rules out the liberal, the lie of universalism, that some preach that all will be saved and all will go to heaven. When Christ quite clearly says here, strive to enter in, there's something required of the sinner here because they need to see where they are. They're not on the road to heaven. They're not in the kingdom. They're not in Christ. They're outside the realms of safety. Outside the realms of mercy. Outside the realms of pardon. Outside the realms of salvation. The very previous verse there, verse 23, Christ is dealing with the very subject of being saved. And then he says, strive to enter in at the straight gate, outside the realms of God's love, outside the realms of God's grace. And dear sinner, I want you to understand in this meeting, that is an awful place to be. For Christ to have to say to you, strive to enter in, it's just plain, simple language. You're not in. You're outside. You're outside of grace. You're outside of mercy. You're not in Christ. You're not on the road to heaven. You're not in the kingdom. You're outside these realms of pardon, these realms of salvation. And I tell you, my friend, tonight, it's an awful place to be. It's an awful place to be. It's an awful place to be in light of the fact that Christ, at the very beginning of this 13th chapter, has just dealt with a subject. And he has just spoken of certain people that tonight are lost. They're lost and they're forever lost. And they'll never be in Christ. And they'll never be in heaven. And they'll never be within the realms of mercy. And they'll never be within the realms of grace. And they have lived and they've had their day. But there was a day when an awful thing happened. Christ deals with it in the first few chapters of this book. Look with me there. In verse number 1 of Luke 13, he says, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Verse 4, the Lord tells us of another tragedy. 18 people killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. If we could put it in our day, it would be the news headlines of that moment. It would be the news headlines. Pilate murders the Galileans. The Tower of Siloam falls and kills 18. That would be the headlines. That moment in Galilee. And within that very framework, Christ says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Because you see, Christ dealt with these tragedies. He tells us something that only Christ could tell us, and I want you to see it, dear sinner. Christ here gives us a demonstration of his Godhead. Pilate has murdered Galileans. The tower has fell and killed 18 in verse 4. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that in each situation they all went to hell. There was only one in that multitude could have said that. Look at it with me. Verse 1, there were present at that season some that told him. They come and tell the Lord of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that those Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Look at verse 4. Are those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Dear people, I want you to understand the key words are likewise perish. Christ just brings a statement of fact. You see, the point is this. Tragedies in our eyes, all we know is it ushers men into eternity. But Christ is showing here that he knows where it ushers them to. And he says it here in black and white to the congregation that have gathered. He said, except ye that are still alive repent, ye will all likewise perish. The key phrase, likewise perish. He's telling them they've everyone lost their souls. There wasn't one in Galilee that Pilate slew that was ready to die. There wasn't one that tar fell on that was ready to meet God. Jesus Christ says they all went into eternity and perished. And in light of that setting, dear sinner, tonight, he says, strive to enter in at the straight gate, because right now you're outside mercy. Right now you're outside the realms of pardon and forgiveness. You're outside salvation. You're outside grace. And you don't want to end up outside it forever. You don't want to end up there. The reality is Christ is speaking to a people who are not in the fold of God. To a people who have never went through the straight gate. That's the reality. And I am convinced that there are people in this meeting and you're outside the realms of grace. And you're outside the realms of pardon. And you're outside the realms of mercy. And you're outside salvation. And you've never entered in through the straight gate. And dear man, woman, I'm telling you now, it's an awful place to be. It's an awful place to be. I don't want to sound bad-mannered. But it's absolute madness to stay here. When Christ says, strive to enter in the straight gate on the setting that he has told of these people, and there wasn't one of them that was ready for this moment that came upon their lives. Not one of them. And therefore he tells the gathered congregation, except you all repent, you'd likewise perish. That's what he said to them. I remember talking to an old man one day. He was about 80 years old. And he wasn't saved. And he didn't even pretend to be saved. And that dear man said to me, I've done all right thus far, haven't I? Man. He couldn't even see the awful plight he was in. Oh, to be 70 or 80 years old and outside grace and outside mercy and outside the realms of pardon and outside the realms of forgiveness and outside the realms of mercy. I tell you, man, woman, in this meeting, whatever age you are, don't die there. Don't die there. Do not die there. You die there. You die there, you're like those at the beginning of the chapter. Son of God tells us they've lost their soul. Oh, I grant you, they didn't expect the tar to fall. I grant you they didn't expect Pilate to do that massacre. I grant you that. But nevertheless, it happened and they perished. And sinner, I'm telling you now, with love to your soul, don't die there. Don't die outside the realms of grace.
That's just the reality of that little statement. Strive to enter in, you're not in. You're outside. You're not in the kingdom. You're not on your way to heaven. Second thing I want to show you is the gate in view. Look again with me. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. That straight gate is referred to also in Matthew 7 twice, and once here in Luke 13. Now, we all know what a gate is. It grants entrance from one property to another. It grants entrance from maybe a public road to a private road. That's the meaning of a gate. Now, I want you to turn with me to Matthew 7 just to look at it. Matthew 7, here's the parallel little portion. Matthew 7, it's the Sermon on the Mount. Christ also speaking of the straight gate. Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The thought is, dear people, tonight with the word straight, the thought is to go through it, it's straight. There's only room for you. That's the thought. There is not room for you and your sin. There's only room for you to go through this gate. The point is seen in where the gate leads to. It leads on to a narrow way. It leads to heaven. It leads to life. Understand what we're speaking about here tonight, unsaved friend. We're speaking about your need to enter in here because the journey ends in heaven. But again, this gate, there's only room for you. There's not room for you and your sin and your lifestyle to this moment. No chance. You've got to get through this gate. And the sin stays there, and you go that way. That's what in view. Christ says, strive to enter in at the straight gate, because we're talking about the very road to heaven. In Revelation 21, don't turn to it, I'll just tell you what it says. It's those chapters that tell us of heaven. But the Lord says there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever work of abomination or make of a lie. It's the New Jerusalem. It's the heavenly city. The Lord says, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever work of abomination or make of a lie. The word defileth, it's the Greek word koinou. It means pollute, unclean, unholy. There'll be nobody polluting heaven. The last beings that tried to pollute heaven were threw out of it. The devil and his angels. And the Lord's saying here in Revelation 21, there'll be in no wise anything entering into it that'll pollute it. That's what the word means. It's a holy place. Dear people, God is there. And he's saying tonight, there'll be nobody pollute heaven. The last people that tried it were out of it. And they're damned. And therefore, this straight gate, dear people, this straight gate that you're asked to go through and commanded to go through, you need to understand what the blessed Lord Jesus is saying to you. It leads to the narrow way which leads to heaven. But to go through that gate, friend, there's only room enough for you. Young person, older person, to go through this gate, the sin goes there and you go that way. And the Lord is saying here, you can't go through this gate with your sin. If you want to be in heaven, the sin stays outside the gate. My sinner friend, God is addressing you tonight. But there are terms to be saved. Repentance. The sin has to go. You go through that gate and you're over. You can't take your sin through it.
Oh, I grant you there is a way you can have your sin. Just look on down Matthew 7 with me. Look at verse 13 again. Enter ye in at the straight gate. And then the Lord contrasts it. For wide is the gate and broad is the way. Oh, I tell you now, there is room for you on that road for all your sin and far more, as much as you want. That's what the Lord's saying. The broad way, the broad gate. There's room for you down that road and there's room for your sin down that road. But don't forget, he adds, it leads to destruction. It leads to destruction. You see, there's only one of these roads, dear people, that you can go down with your sin. It's that way that leads to eternal ruin. The Lord tells us at the end of verse 13, and many there be which go in thereat. Oh, those are heart-wrenching words. See, if you're looking down the corridor of time, he sees them all go down the broad road with all their sin, but it's all leading them to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat. Sinner, you need to see something. That's the very road you're on. It's the very road you're on. But there's where it's heading. Destruction. That word destruction, it's used in Philippians chapter 3, don't turn to it. But Paul's speaking there in very graphic language. And he speaks of the enemies of the cross. He speaks of the enemies of the cross of Christ. And he says of them, whose end is destruction. It's the very same word. Dear people, I want you to understand something tonight. Learn the lesson of the gate. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, because that straight gate leads to heaven. But let me repeat it. That straight gate, there's only room for you. There's only room for you. There's not room for your sin. It's not a matter of praying a prayer, but I'll take my sin with me. You can pray that prayer all you want, you're not saved. If any preacher ever tells you that you can come to God, keep your sin, just say a prayer, you'll be in heaven, you won't be in heaven, and you're not saved, and you haven't went through the gate. Because the straight gate is the commencement of the journey to heaven. But Jesus Christ makes it clear here, it's straight. There's only room for you. There's only room for you. And therefore, at this gate, my dear friend, you and your sin part company forever. You part company. You bid it farewell. I have a soul to be saved. I'm going through the gate. Now, that road you're on, there's plenty of room for you and your sin. Christ makes that clear. But you go through that straight gate, the sin stays behind. Another thought in the gate is this. It's a blessed picture of Christ. It's a blessed picture of the Savior. Turn with me to John chapter 10. The same sort of language is used here. John chapter 10, verse 9. And there we read this. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You see the wee phrase again, enter in. It's only used here in John 10 and Matthew 7 and Luke 13. Matthew 7, enter in at the straight gate. Luke 13, strive to enter in. And here the Lord says, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And what the Lord's showing you tonight is this, the exclusiveness of the way of salvation. Strive to enter in. Remember what the Lord's dealing with here. He's dealing with the subject of being saved. And some of you aren't saved. It's the Greek word sozo. It means to make and keep sound and safe. And sinner, that's what God does for people like you and me. He takes you. He makes you his own. And he keeps you sound and safe. Not only in time, but in God's eternity. Sozo. It's that little word. And Jesus says here in John 10, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Oh, dear people, understand this, sinner. I want you to get this. Christ is the beginning of the journey. You enter in through Christ. Then you walk with Christ. And then you go to be with Christ forever. But when you meet Christ, I am telling you now, if Christ's going to be your Savior, and I pray to God in heaven, he is. Will you and your sin part at Christ? You part at Christ. The reality in view, come back to Luke 13, you're not in. Thirdly, the action in view. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. The word strive, it's a verb. It denotes action. You know what it means? It means fight, labor fervently, contend. I think you'll all agree that's very interesting. It gives a thought of a battle to stop you entering in. That's the thought it gives, of resistance to be overcome. And dear sinner, we are speaking tonight about the battle for your soul. And if I could please just suggest some things to you about the battle. The very thought of a battle, it tells us of an enemy. And you may believe this or you may believe this not, but this book reveals it. Young or old in this meeting, there's a battle for your soul. And I'm telling you, young person or older person, the devil is raging in that fight. And he's going for it. Because lose you, he never wants to do. By birth, he had you. By nature, he has you. That's why you need to strive to enter in at the straight gate. Because right now, the devil has you. And you need to strive to enter in because of the devil. What will he do to keep you out? Well, he'll come along and he'll suggest. Let me think of a couple. Your sins are too great. You've been going on in it too long. There was a point in your life when you just overstepped it. That's a lie from hell. The Bible says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, and he'll abundantly pardon. Let me tell you of a man called Manasseh. Manasseh had a godly father. And Manasseh's father was in heaven before Manasseh was ever saved. And Manasseh did everything that his father didn't do. And everything that his dear father did, Manasseh undid it. If ever there was a notorious sinner on the face of God's earth, it was Manasseh. He worshipped Baal. He gave himself to witchcraft and sorcery. He made the nation of Judah sin more than even the heathen nations. He caused the streets of Jerusalem to run with innocent blood. But Manasseh's in glory tonight. because God saved that man. He repented. He believed the gospel. Sinner friend in this meeting, don't let the devil tell you you've sinned too much. The blood of Christ washes from all sin. Saul of Tarsus, persecutor of the Christian, he's in the glory. Mary Magdalene, out of her the Lord cast seven devils. I don't know how they got into her in the first place, but out of her he cast seven devils. She's in the glory. And sinner, what I'm trying to show you, in this battle for your soul, there's mercy with the Lord for you right now. If you come to Him, there's mercy with the Lord. There's pardon. There's forgiveness. Time would fail me to tell of the prodigal with his harlots, of Ephraim with his idols. They all found mercy with the Lord. Sinner, the battle's raging for your soul. And I'm telling you, don't listen to the lies of the devil. Sure, you've sinned all your life. All the more reason to stop it immediately and get to Christ. You've sinned for years. It needs to stop now, the Lord's saying. Because the battle for your soul's raging. I'll tell you another reason. The longer you go on and sin, my friend, young person, listen, hear me out well on this one. The longer you go on and sin, the harder the heart gets and the harder the habit gets to break. Don't go down that road. Snares are set. The devil's raging for your soul. Just a little longer. Oh, that's just the phrase. Just wait a little longer. Just think about it a little longer. Just ponder over it. Don't rush into it. I am telling you, my dear sinner friend, if you go down that road with that attitude, you'll just ponder over it till you drop into hell. Maybe another lie he would come with. You're not worthy to come. From Genesis to Revelation, God requires nowhere of the sinner to be worthy to come to Christ. It's because we're unworthy that we need to come. And my unsaved friend, let me make this very clear to you tonight. If you wait till you feel sort of worthy to come to Christ, before you embrace Him, I am telling you now, you will embrace the fires of hell before you ever embrace Christ. See the battle that rages for your soul, man, woman, young person. Understand you're not in. Understand you need to get in. Understand that while you remain outside that gate, outside of grace, outside of mercy, outside of pardon, outside of forgiveness, there's a moment between you and the loss of your soul. Oh, friend, you need to see it. The battle rages for the soul. The word strive, it gives the thought of action required. You need to strive because of false teaching. I remember reading a book by Thomas Brooks, the Puritan. If you don't have it, try and get it. It's called Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices. And he says in it, the devil will seek to cause a sinner to think about the secret decrees and counsels of God instead of his own duty. He'll get them to think of election. Well, sure, if you're elect, you'll be saved anyway. Dear sinner, I'm telling you now, your duty is to obey the gospel and strive to enter in. That's what Jesus Christ is saying to you now. The secret things of God are not your business. Your business is to obey the gospel and strive to enter in that gate and get before Christ until he has mercy upon your soul. Cast yourself upon him, because I am saying this on the authority of this book. You're in danger of losing your soul. Another lie of the devil is this. Sure, it'll all end at death anyway. That's the end of it. Maybe somebody watching on tonight through the internet, you've come across us by chance. Sure, it'll all end at death, and that's the end of it. It won't end at death. It won't end at death. After death comes judgment. After that comes hell. Sinner, death is the only the changing of the abode. Death only takes you from earth into eternity. Unsaved friends, see this tonight. There's a battle raging for your soul. And the reality is that you're not in the kingdom. You're not on the road to heaven. The gate in view tells you you've got to let the sin go. Let me ask you something. What is that sin that keeps you from coming to Jesus Christ? Because I am telling you now, whatever that sin is that keeps you back from embracing Christ and coming to Christ and coming into the kingdom of God and of mercy, that sin is the biggest curse on your existence. Because that sin is threatening to damn you. Well, my friend, do not look on that sin as a darling. Do not look on it as something desirable, as something beautiful. Because I am telling you now, you will curse that sin for all of God's eternity if you lose your soul over the head of it. And there's always a sin that holds the sinner. There's always that sin. And every sinner in their own heart knows it. Maybe I speak to one here, and it's while you've been troubled. Troubled about your soul. And you've been reasoning it out in your heart. And you've been thinking about it before God. And you know God's been speaking to you. And you get so far, and then you meet the darling sin again. And you know that it needs dealt with. And every time you come to it, you stop. And you back off. And then you hear the gospel again. And you come so near again. And then you meet the darling sin again. And every time it puts you back. Oh, I'm telling you, friend, there comes a day you've got to deal with it. You've got to deal with it. Because you will curse that sin forever if it damns you. Because the sinner, the soul of the sinner that's lost, it takes with it the remembrance, the memory. It takes it right into the eternal abode of the lost. Luke 16 makes it so clear in those gripping words. Whenever the rich man was reminded, "Son, remember. Remember." And he was asked to remember his darling sins. Remember the son in your lifetime. You got those good things. Those good things in your estimation. Those good things that you counted far more important than your soul or the salvation of it. And though I think it's clear that that man that lost his soul, he was familiar with the scriptures, I've no doubt of it. He knew all about Abraham. He knew all about him. He knew all about the old godly patriarch. But I tell you, friend, you could know all about the old godly patriarchs of Scripture and go to hell because he did. Because he didn't know old godly Abraham's God. Sinner, you need to come to Christ. You need to come to him now. There's a battle raging for your soul. Based on the very chapter of Luke 13 that opens with these great tragedies that occurred. Suddenly and swiftly, ushering people into God's eternity. And Christ, the only one that could tell it, he just told them all, there's every one of them perished. They weren't ready. Oh, the awfulness of dying unready. There wasn't one of them. Christ was telling them there wasn't one of them that had obeyed the old prophet Amos, who had said, prepare to meet thy God. And in those words that Jesus said, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. He's telling there wasn't one of them that did it. Not one of them was prepared. Fellow traveler, don't die unprepared. I'm telling you that now, man to man, preacher to congregation, friend to friend. Don't die like those first five verses of Luke 13. Jesus said there wasn't one of them ready. There wasn't one of them ready. Exact same as the flood. Old Noah preached the whole time he built that ark. Jesus said there wasn't one of them ready. Matthew 24, he says, the flood came and took them all away. Not one of them ready. You see, sinner, being preached to doesn't mean you're ready. That multitude in the book of Genesis that Noah preached to faithfully, Jesus said not one of them was ready. Hearing the gospel doesn't save. Obeying the gospel saves. Coming to church saves nobody. Obeying what you hear, provided it's pointing you to Christ and wherever you go, will save you. I'm telling you all now, dear unsaved friend, and we thank God you're here, but do not die as they died in Luke 13. Don't go there. Do not go there. Because Jesus said, you'll likewise perish. You'll die not ready. You'll be overcome suddenly. And then for all of God's great eternity, it'll be a case of Son, remember. Man, remember. You did get what you wanted. It cost you your soul, but you got it. Young person, remember. You've lost your soul, but you got what you wanted. It's the memory of the loss. Because you see, the memory is part of the soul. It's one of the faculties of the soul. If I could put it to you like this, sinner. If you die tonight out of Christ, your memory's not going into the box with you. Your memory's going into eternity with you tonight. It's a faculty of the soul. And you're taking it with you. And you'll remember the night Christ showed you in Holy Writ of a people that died unprepared. And it's happened to you. It's happened to you. The reality in view you're not in. The gate in view, the sin stays outside. The action in view, you need to strive, you need to labor, you need to move, you need to act, you need to obey the gospel. It is man's responsibility. That's what's in view. God says you're to take action if you're ever to be in. Finally, the end in view. When you tie Luke 13 and Matthew 7 together, as I've already said, you see that the straight gate leads to life, but the wide gate leads to destruction. Sinner friend, I want you to understand something tonight. You have a decision to make. You have a decision to make. There's no such thing as unsaved people sitting in gospel meetings with no decision to make. You have a decision to make, having been addressed by God Almighty. Either to say, I'm coming, Lord, as the King of heaven addresses you, the King of grace, the King of love, the King of mercy, the King of pardon, as he addresses you, to strive to enter in, to come, to draw near, to avail yourself of pardon, forgiveness, of mercy. But I'm telling you, you have a decision to make. And listen, God's your judge. And God's your witness. Because I have no idea what you're thinking. But God knows what you're thinking. And you have a decision to make in this meeting. Is it Christ? Or do I go all in my sin? Tell you this, sinner friend, you come to Christ tonight, God will save you in an instant. You think of that blessed day at Calvary. Let's go there as we close. And the scripture that was written above the Savior, this is Jesus of Nazareth. And look, in his writings on it, he tells us, it was written in Greek. It was written in Latin. It was written in Hebrew. The Jew couldn't claim God only loved Jews at Calvary. Whether they were Jews speaking Hebrew, whether they were Greek soldiers, whether they spoke Latin, it didn't matter. There it was for all to see. This is Jesus of Nazareth. Remember, it means Savior. This is the Savior. Written in Greek and Latin and Hebrew, the languages of the world in that day, that all might understand that Christ was dying for all types of sin and all types of sinners. This is Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, sinner, understand this. Wherever you're from, whatever your sin, watching on the web, this is Jesus of Nazareth. This is the Savior. His blood was shed. Redemption was accomplished. In those darkness there on Golgotha's brow, in those dark hours, listen, dear believer, why is there no sting in death for you? Because there was sting in it for Christ. Why is there no bitterness in it for you? Because it was a bitter cup that Christ drank. Oh, sinner, sinner, see what happened at Calvary. It happened for sinners. once and for all sacrifice for sin. If you come to him tonight, you'll be saved. But you need to come. The blood has been shed. The Lord says, strive to enter in. You're not in. There's only room for you. Strive, labor, come to Christ. Without a shadow of a doubt, there's sinners in this meeting. And right now, the devil's resisting you. And he's putting thoughts in your mind as to why you shouldn't come right now. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Every thought that keeps you from Christ is from Lucifer. That's where it came from. It's from he that polluted heaven and was cast out of it. And now he seeks to stop you and end it. You better believe it. You better believe it. It's the battle for the soul. But sinner, you need to come to Christ now. Maybe the devil's saying, think about it, put it off just a little longer. Let me tell you of a man called Felix. Felix was educated. Felix was a university graduate. Felix was a ruler. I suppose in the world's eyes, Felix would have been a great man. But Felix tonight is lost. He's lost. Because he said to the preacher, go your way, and when I have a more convenient season, I'll call for you. Sinner, in this meeting, waiting for a more convenient season is the very ground on which you'll perish. Remember the setting here. Galileans murdered. Tower of Siloam falling. People suddenly swept into God's eternity. In light of it, Christ tells them, strive, make every effort, get in that gate, come to the Savior. But sinner, all you need is his invitation, and he says, come. Strive to enter in. Strive to enter in. Soon this meeting will end. Soon that cover will be removed from that table. Soon the Lord's people will sit down to the communion feast. You know you'll not be there, and I understand that. Because you're not in. And there we'll gather to remember the Lord's death until he come. Oh yes, get it clear. Until he come. He's coming back. Sinner, Christ is coming back. That table reminds us of that too. This world hasn't seen the last of Jesus Christ. He's coming back. He's coming to separate the sheep and the goats. He's coming to separate the saved from the lost. He's coming to usher into his heavenly kingdom that multitude of sinners that are saved by his grace here on earth. And then he's coming to judge those who rejected him. Dear unsaved friend, do not be deluded by any means. Jesus Christ is coming back. This world hasn't seen the last of him. They can pass whatever laws they want that are contrary to his book. But there's a day coming, Christ is coming, and he'll deal with it. And sinner, you need to be ready. I've said it before, and I'm saying it again. Don't meet Christ like they did in Luke 13. Because let me tell you, the minute that tower fell, they met God. They met God. After death, the judgment. And I don't know what other way to put this, my friend. And I pray to God it doesn't happen. But if it happens you tonight, I want you to understand you'll meet God tonight. And I am telling you, and I'm pleading with you, don't meet God as they met him. Don't go there. It's the absolute horror of the moment. You meet God in your sin. You've lost your soul. And you'll take the memory, yea, even the very memory of that book, and you'll take it to hell with you. And you'll remember it for God's great eternity. And you'll remember, strive to enter in at the straight gate. And you tarried too long. And you died unready. And you died unprepared. Sinner friend, it's time to come to Jesus Christ. It's time right now to obey the gospel. You come to him now, he'll save you now. You say, preacher, how do you know if I have to come now? How do you know if God's speaking to me? If there's concern in your soul, I explained this before, I'll explain it again. If there's concern in your soul about hell, about coming judgment, about meeting God, if the thought of it terrifies you, or whatever the degree of it that there is, conviction of sin, I'm telling you now, the Holy Ghost dealing with you. But remember the terms of the gate. You and the sin part company tonight. And you embrace Christ. And he'll save you. And he'll keep you till that blessed river rolls its waters at your feet. And he'll bear you safely over into that kingdom of heaven, into the new Jerusalem, into that building and city whose maker is God. Will you come to Christ tonight? You say, preacher, I'm scared. Thank God. You ought to be scared. I was scared the night I got saved. I was scared stiff. I was scared to meet God. I was scared to die in my sin. I was scared to go to hell. And now, mind you, I didn't know how I was going to sort out my life, but I came to Christ and He sorted it out. Sinner, come to the Savior. Part company with your sin tonight. Because Christ is telling you now, don't die as they died, but strive to enter in at the straight gate. There's action required, and there's action required now. But if you come, remember the words across the cross, Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. This is Jesus of Nazareth, dying for all types of sinners and all types of sin. Be they Jew or Greek or Roman, Christ died for sinners. May God give you grace to come. Let us bow our heads. Let us bow our heads quietly before God. With every head bowed, God's people praying. Let's just bow our heads quietly. Sinner, if God has been speaking to you tonight, you need to come. Put it off no longer. Lift your heart now and cry on God to save you. He'll save you now. If you want to speak with me, I can speak to you in the minister's room after the Lord's Supper. Or you can speak to one of the elders immediately after this meeting in the minister's room. They can point you to Christ. Or say to him at the door, I want to talk to you. I'll see you immediately after the Lord's Supper, here or wherever you want to meet. But sinner, come to Christ. Be saved tonight. Call upon him. For one in this meeting, and God has been dealing with your heart even right now. Sinner, the battle's raging. I would say you feel it. I tell you, friend, come to Christ. He'll save you. He'll silence the accuser. You'll pass from death unto life. You'll come into grace and pardon and forgiveness and mercy. And from this moment on, God will be your Father, Christ will be your Savior, the Holy Ghost will be your comforter and guide, and this book will lead you safely home to heaven. But you've got to come to Him. Father, grant the saving grace. Bind the devil. Thwart his plans. Bring souls right through for God. Hear prayer in this meeting. And answer prayer we ask in the holy name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.